Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Blood pressure come down?
A little bit. It was not overly impressive there for a while, but a win is a win, and especially in this conference where I don't know who's good and who's bad still. Jack State's 2-0 in conference. So to be completely fair to everybody, I do think that Sam Houston's a little better than 0-6. They had a really tough four games that included, Texas, UNLV, and a trip to Hawaii. So, and I mean, they started the year with Western Kentucky. So I do think they're a little better than 0-6 probably. But as far as Jack State played really bad the middle part of this game, halfway through the second quarter to 5 minutes left in the fourth, it's like they just completely forgot what the game plan was. They started out really good. We'll talk about that in a minute. They started out good, and this kind of in the middle there, I don't know if Sam Houston figured this out or what, but it was a little bit uninspiring there for a while. But like I said a minute ago, a win is a win. And in this conference, with how much turnover that we have had and Sam Houston's had and every other team has had, I don't think you can complain about a 2-0 conference start. They're at 3-3. Got a tough one this week we'll talk about here at the end of the show. But, Brooks, how are you doing?
Yeah, no, doing good. Like you said, it's hard to be upset with a win. It really is. Especially in Division I college football. I know this is not the SEC, the Big Ten, anything like that, but it's hard to be upset with a win. It wasn't always pretty at times by any stretch of the imagination, and even there were spurts where defense got things going and then the offense stumbled. Offense had things going and the defense stumbled. It's just could not, like you said, that middle, end of the first half, all the way into about the start of the fourth or so, was just, oh my God, call my eyes out. And I'm like you, I don't think that Sam Houston is, necessarily as bad as what the record shows. They tough non-conference, and the two conference teams that they play, or of course New Mexico State, but other than the other two conference teams that they've played are the defending champion and the defending runner up. So I mean, just brutal start for a first year head coach. first year head coach, a lot of new pieces. They're having to travel back and forth between Huntsville and Houston. There's just a lot of weird things going on right now with Sam Houston. And, hand up, I came into this week saying, we ought to look at this game kind of like the Murray game, get up, 35-0 or something, and, maybe throw in the scrubs, work on the things that, we need to keep improving on, which I did. There are some elements that I think we did improve on. And then go home. And that was not at all the case.
No, it started out that way. Yeah. The defense got a 3-and-out to start the game. The offense went down and scored a touchdown. Very refreshing. And then after that, we got another 3-and-out. We had a field goal block. We got another 3-and-out. We kicked the field goal successfully. It's 10-0. Defense gets the fourth consecutive stop to start the game. And Creel fumbles on the 1-yard line. And Sam Houston punches it in. And it was like that was a spark they needed. Credit to the offense. They went down and scored after that. Made it 17-7. And then they stopped scoring for a while after that. But you look at the numbers and it's how was this game even competitive? Like Jack State had 499 yards of total offense. Sam Houston had 286. Jack State had 26 first downs. Sam Houston had 15. Right? Neither team was good on third down, to be fair. But Jack State held the ball for 35 minutes. Sam Houston had it for 25 minutes. Is how this game was really that close, with the yardage difference and the time of possession difference. It's not – and Jack's only turned the ball over one time. That was a very costly turnover. as was Sam Houston's there late in the fourth quarter when Hunter Watson fumbled. Trevor Woods ripped that away from him. But, you know, the game was a whole lot closer than I felt like it needed to be. And on top of that, like, you know, there's a lot of worlds where Jack State loses this game. I'm very happy that our kicker is the best in conference, because if Ripa doesn't hit from 52, this is a really, really ugly loss. I know we just said that Sam Houston's probably not 0-6. At least they're not that bad. But when you outplay a team like JSU did, to have to rely on a 52-yarder at the horn, you know, like you said, Brooks, can't get out of your own way. Couple of highlights here before we kind of get into more of it. Cam Cook is the best running back in the nation. He leads the nation in rushing yards at this point.
That's a fact.
It's like Trey Stewart 2.0 from last year. It's like we, you know, rinse and repeat with what we saw from Trey Stewart. Cam Cook carried the ball 31 times for 218, that's a lot of touches for Mr. Cook there. Creel ran the ball well also, which was good to see. And I do think that is why we're seeing him play over Wimsatt, as he is a much more willing runner. He ran it for 132 yards, 5.5 per carry. If he doesn't fumble at the goal line there, this game's probably not that close late. I think that was a kind of a catalyst to get Sam Houston. It's kind of like, you know, their spirit, their morale got a lot better after that, and I think that helped a little bit. Take care of the football and he played. And he threw the ball okay, 13 for 17, 129. And a lot of those are very easy throws. They're, you know, out of the backfield to Cam Cook. He only had a couple catches, but out of the backfield to Cam Cook or screens, that kind of thing. Pearson Baldwin was the leading receiver and 5 catches for 72. And none bigger than a 5-yard catch at the very end of the game. It's kind of weird. A guy's got 72 yards receiving, and his biggest play was a 5-yard out route. We'll talk about that in a minute, because I think Phil Longo or the defensive coordinator or whatnot for Sam Houston, that was horrible defense on their part on that play there. But, you know, overall, the numbers for Jack State look good. Look at the scoreboard, and you're like, you know, how did this happen? They moved the ball really good for the first quarter and a half and got most of their yards there, and then they couldn't move it much after that. Now, they did kind of figure it out there, Brooks, like you said, to start the fourth quarter, and played well, but this team has yet to really put four quarters together except against Liberty, and they're going to have to put four quarters together to beat Delaware on Wednesday night. So we'll be interesting to see what team we get. This team has been really, really good at home and not great on the road, so I think that works out in JSU's favor there. But a win is a win. Doesn't matter how ugly it is, and I'm very happy that Cam Cook and Garrison Ripa play for Jacksonville State.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll kind of start off with some of the more positives. I think there are some things that we did improve on in this game. I thought the pass rush finally, you know, had a welcome home party. We were texting back and forth. Maybe even I think he sent out a tweet too, wondering if we were going to set the single game sack record. Because the way it was going, we only got four, but we were just four sacks, but we were just blown up the backfield. And credit to Hunter Watson, as the game went on, he did a better job of adapting and moving up in the pocket, making some throws and scrambling when he needed to. I thought that was better. The run game obviously was fantastic. The only boo-boo was the fumble and Andrew Ball getting stuffed on fourth and one. And that's the thing too. I know this is very much a read option first, a run first offense, but we have got to get a little bit more of a downfield threat to at least keep these teams on their heels, especially, you know, for a team like Delaware who loves to throw the ball, and it's a lot of, you know, sometimes they can piece together these long, you know, strategized drives together, and sometimes they're allowed to walk right down the field on our defense, and just we're liable to dig ourselves in a hole that might be too much to dig out of, to climb back out of. But we've got to Creel had a very good game on the ground. No doubt. That, like you said, that's why he's on the field. That's why we said coming into this game that the coaching staff wants him on the field in some shape, form, or fashion, whether that's receiver, running back, punt returner, or quarterback. The guy's a phenomenal athlete when the ball's in his hands. Now, he got more comfortable this game, throwing the ball a little bit, but he's still a little iffy. When the offensive line gave him time to sit back, go through his progressions, I thought he was fine. There's a couple passes here and there that he's got to make. There's a couple dump passes that were just overthrown. We tried throwing it pretty deep with him, a few plays, and just didn't really put the ball in a good spot for the receiver to grab. But the guy's a redshirt freshman, and that was his first start on the road. I know nobody was there, and wasn't exactly the world's greatest defense, but you know, he's young. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's getting better. The only problem with, we're going to see a really good Delaware defense. So, I mean, he's in turnaround, played on Thursday. This game's going to be played on Wednesday. So not a whole lot of turnover time. If we're going to keep climbing staying in the position that we are at the top of the conference standings, he's going to have to get better and get better quick throwing the ball.
This seems hesitant to let it loose down the field.
Hesitant.
And it's hard on TV for us to see. I know obviously we didn't go to Houston. We'll be in Jacksonville Wednesday night, of course, but it's hard to see on TV. Is that Sam Houston playing tight coverage in the secondary? Is that the receivers not getting open, or is that Caden Creel being, like we said, being hesitant to cut the ball loose downfield? But Brooks, you're spot on with, there's got to be some level of threat to throw the ball downfield. I mean, I'm not going to remember all 13 completions that he had, but I bet 10 of them were less than 5 yards in line of scrimmage. Maybe more than that. I know DeAndre Johnson had a catch that was 8-9 yards downfield, which was good. And Pearson Baldwin caught some and had a catch and run opportunity, which was nice. But there's got to be some thread of throwing the ball 10, 15 yards down. It doesn't have to be 20 or 30 yard completions. If you can throw the ball 10, 15 yards in the air, that's going to force Stevens to back up a little bit, and it'll help Cam Cook, who really doesn't need a lot of help, but it'll help Cam Cook and Caden Creel in the running game be more and more effective, because the defense have to obviously play more honest. So that's kind of the next big step that the offense needs to take. I know that there's been some moments in the last couple of games, Southern Miss and against Sam Houston, where they didn't take care of the football. But it's not we're not throwing interceptions wildly. We're not fumbling, 5, 6, 7 times a game. So I'm not as worried about those. I know the fumble on the goal line was really suboptimal at the time that it happened, but, there needs to be some level of throwing, and that may be why we saw Gavin Wimsatt start the year, as he was kind of willing to let it loose a little more than what Caden Creel is, even though he is certainly not the runner that we've seen from Caden Creel. I don't think that he was throwing the ball downfield efficiently enough for it to really matter one way or the other. The defenses were still not respecting the passing attack that we were showing. And it's kind of the next step. And Caden Creel is a redshirt freshman, young quarterback. He's going to learn and get better. But Brooks, like you said, the biggest test of the year might be this week. I know they got beat by 3 against Western Kentucky, but that game could have gone different ways multiple times, and just didn't quite go the way that the Blue Hens wanted to. But if Jack State can get a win this Wednesday night, we're looking at 3-0 in conference with, they're probably their second toughest conference game behind them already. And then you take into account Liberty as well. I know they're not, setting the world on fire or anything, but Jack State looks competitive and gets winning against Delaware. I'm going to be right back into the, okay, let's go play for a conference title game again. I don't think we're quite there anymore. We were certainly there after Liberty. And then we had our rough Sun Belt stretch there, and we got, you know, they didn't play good against Sam Houston, but I do think that if they can improve the passing attack, play four complete quarters, this team should be able to beat Delaware. They are talented enough to do so. I mean, if you look at the Sam Houston numbers, they should have won that game by 20 points. So I'm not concerned with the final score there against Sam Houston. That 29-27 that I'm circling with my mouse that you guys can't see, I'm not concerned by that number. The field goal went in, we won the game. That's all that matters, right? The underlying numbers look very good for JSU. It's just if they put four complete quarters together, those underlying numbers would have resulted in the score that you would have thought should have been on the scoreboard at the end of the game. So that's about it. Defensively, one name we've kind of neglected to say, true freshman Max Sanders has played really, really well this year. I did want to just kind of take a second. We've talked about Travis Franklin and his rise to being a big-time player on the defense. Walker Osteen, we've spoken about him before. But Max Sanders has been really, really good with the injuries they've had at linebacker with Thax and Gallagher and guys like that. I am very, very impressed with what Max Sanders has shown us. So I did want to kind of give him a shout-out there. But like you said, Brooks, the pass rush was good. At least in the first half, it did, like you said, I do think that Hunter Watson and the Sam Houston offensive line did kind of find an answer for it in the second half. They did have four sacks. I think all those sacks were in the first half. Walker Osteen had a huge day. Had a sack and 3.5 tackles for loss. He was a problem. And then Trevor Woods with a forced fumble there against Wimsatt. Caleb Nix with recovery. And Caleb Nix is becoming a player in the back half of the defense that has seen a lot of playing time. So overall, I was impressed with the defense. I know they let up, you know, 14 points in that second quarter. Seven of those, certainly not going to pin on them for that. And then that long touchdown drive to start the second half for Sam Houston was a little bit discouraging. I think that was when we kind of got beat through the air, unfortunately, like this team is subject to at times. But overall, I thought the defense played well for the majority of this game, minus a couple, like we said, a couple of long drives that we got beat through the air there. And then, unfortunately, if you have anything else here, I do want to spend just a minute and talk about the final two plays of this game. I know I said it a minute ago. I don't know what Sam Houston's defense was doing at all. 5 seconds left. It was a 57-yarder with 5 seconds left. Ripa ran out there, then they called timeout, and they brought him back, and they ran the offense on the field. Everyone in the stadium knew what Jack State was going to do. They're going to try to run a 5-yard out route and just get closer because they have 5 seconds for Ripa. And it's like Sam Houston thought a Hail Mary was coming. I mean, there was no one. There was like two guys rushing the passer and 9 guys in the end zone. It was bizarre. It was almost akin to like the defense Florida State ran against Zarek Cooper and company. It was almost that bad to me. I know I'm not taking anything away from Philyod Johnson and Zarek Cooper for that play, but a good defense stops that play. Mm-hmm. Same with Sam Houston. If you run the correct defense, you know, 5-yard out routes are tough, especially when you're a little worried about him throwing the ball downfield. But, like, there was no one in the picture with Pearson Baldwin. He was all by himself. I could have thrown that pass to Pearson Baldwin. It's just, thank you, Sam Houston. But, like, that made zero sense to me. I don't know what the deal was, what the thought process behind that defense. It was kind of bizarre. Because Ripa's field goal, I'm not sure that goes in for 57. At least that particular kick may not go in for 57. It'd been close, right? I also don't think Ripa hit it very well. It kind of knuckled a little bit. So, I mean, it went in. That's all that matters. But, like, 50, there's a big difference between 57 and 52. Especially on grass at nighttime. You know, this is not on turf at Burgess Snow. You know, the grass does make a little bit of a difference. Like, I don't know. I was obviously very happy that Sam Houston ran that coverage, but it didn't make a lot of sense to me in the time. And a good call from Coach Kelly or Coach Tricker, whoever made that decision to try to get 5 or 6 extra yards with 5 seconds left. That was a good call there. Obviously, it worked out in our favor. But I did want to just mention that. And if you guys are listening, let us know your thoughts below in the Twitter post, because that was. Maybe I'm all by myself thinking that was bizarre defense, but to me that was really, really strange. Stars of the game, I know I gave you guys a couple of options, only two options on Twitter between Cam Cook and Garrison Ripa, and I think you guys overwhelmingly picked Cam Cook. So he gets the community star of the game. I'll give mine to Ripa. I know he had one blocked, but a 52-yarder to win it at the horn. He also made a really good special teams tackle that probably saved 10 or 15 yards at one point. So I'll mention that as well. So, again, I'm very glad that, you know, the best kicker in the conference is resides in Jacksonville. He's got two misses this year. Both have been blocked. He has not missed one on his own. I know that one against Central Florida was kind of a low-line drive, but still, both his misses have been blocked this year. He looks dialed in. We're a long, long, long way from that New Orleans Bowl field goal that looked like a dying duck.
Just kind of floated up there.
Yeah. It's kind of floated in there. So I'll give mine to Garrison Ripa. Brooks, I don't know where you're going to go with yours, but who you got?
So, you know, it'd be a little ignorant to not address the elephant in the room, I guess, and give the umpire saved us on that crossing route. Absolutely saved us because I can tell if it was Mac Jones or Malcolm Butler or who it was. But the DB was trailing the receiver all day. That's easy, you know, 5-yard completion, whatever it was. And just flat out ran into the umpire, saved us on third down. Who knows what happens on that drive going from there? But it gave us an opportunity to slow down their momentum. The officiating was just one of the craziest games that I've ever seen called. Not to be outdone by the thing. Bizarre, absolutely bizarre. Not to be outdone by the dang Georgia Auburn game last night. This has just been such a god awful year for officiating. but it was just all over the field. They had the sequence where it was close to the catch that DeAndre Johnson had. Looked like a first down. I think he caught the ball right over the first down marker. He certainly had his feet over. Either way, I think it was a first down, but, you know, credit to them to get up to the line and get a playoff before it completely finished the play before they could buzz down and review it. And they say, no, we're going back two plays later and going to look at it. No, you can't do that. Stinks for Sam Houston, but you can't do it. May have been a first down if it may have been it may have been overruled if they looked at it a little bit longer and, you know, really dialed in on it. But the fact that they took 20 minutes to look at it and then came back and said, Jack State ran a play, completed a play. We're not going to, the completion didn't matter, essentially. Just mind-boggling on that. The fumble that it was a bad snap to Hunter Watson, and then
Garrett Stansberry fell on the ball. Clearly recovered a fumble on the ground, and had it ripped away from him. Hunter Watson finished the play with a ball. That's fine, but yeah, Garrett Stansberry very clearly recovers a fumble, and you know they give the ball to Sam Houston. That one.
Well, and they called it a backwards pass. They said on the field, the ruling on the field is a backwards pass by the quarterback. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It hit his hands and fell on the ground.
That, I think.
They may maybe have I missed that then, but.
I mean, well, also, if you talk about, you know, bad officiating, I mean, we had the whole deal where Andrew Paul got stuffed on 4th-and-1 and the guy thought it was a fumble. The announcer. I mean, it was just weird. Weekday CBS Sports Network, you know, what officials are available, what commentators. Like, if CBS, if you guys are listening, I will do that job for minimum wage. I will require no money beyond minimum wage. I will do better than those two guys in the booth did Thursday night, sorry. Officiating. I'm not doing that job for minimum wage, but we got to have something better officiating too. I mean, it was, like you said, a just really strange game. I am going to play devil's advocate for just a minute on the umpire pass breakup kind of deal. Like, if you're a college wide receiver and you get bumped by an umpire, you got to be able to hold on to the football. It wasn't like he got bumped at the exact same time he caught the ball. There was a second in between there. He didn't have fully possession or whatever. You know, it wasn't a fumble. But he was able to catch it, kind of get turned upfield and hit the umpire. Like, dude, he had to hold on to the ball. Like, I get it. Again, if you're Sam Houston, that sucks. That's a really hard pill to swallow. At the same time, like, it's not like the official punched the ball out. Let's not get it confused. They ran into each other and he dropped the ball. Like, you got to be better than that as a wide receiver, I think. But yeah, Brooks, like you said, a bizarro world we were in there for a while. We've had the word bizarre a lot on the show so far. Real quick before we get into some of the Delaware stuff, Missouri State gets a 2-point win over Middle Tennessee on the road. I know Middle Tennessee is not very good, but impressive there for the Bears. That's their first conference win, so good for those guys. Liberty on the road against UTEP gets a 19-8 victory. Vasco finally played all four quarters there, threw the ball for 243 yards and ran in a touchdown. So it seems like Liberty offense is kind of back to mediocrity. Of course, they were putrid while he was out. So they get their second win of the year, first conference win. And then the story of the night, man, what happened in Kennesaw, Georgia? Jerry Mack has got that ETA team rolling. I mean, rolling. I know we said before this week, their three wins were not overly impressive. As far as, you know, Arkansas State, not a great team, things like that. A 35-7 victory over what I thought was the conference favorite will do just fine for the Owls. I mean, I think we said last week, Brooks, that of all the teams in the FBS, that Louisiana Tech was the team you could point to and say they have the best shot right now with making their conference title game. And I believed that last week. I mean, Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, like, you can name, you know, I think Indiana's in that conversation now, Ohio State. Of all the teams that you're looking at and you think that team's going to play for their title game, I thought La Tech was maybe the safest one in all of college football. And they got beat by 28. Now, they led 7-0 after the first quarter. We're like, okay, they'll get going and win this game. And then Kennesaw State just hold my beer, here we go. 14 in the second, 7 in the third, and 14 in the fourth. And that's their biggest win at the FBS level by a good margin, I think. They're 4-2, 2-0 in conference, and they come to Jacksonville 2 weeks from now. So get ready, because I think Jerry Mack's got the Owls going in a good direction. Now, with that program and facilities and that kind of thing, it's going to take a lot to sustain that over time. I'm not saying that this year will be a big fall, because I think this team is now good enough to go play for a conference title game, talking about Kennesaw State, if everything goes their way. But that is a program. It's not going to be like JSU, where if they can keep their head coach, they'll kind of get the same product each year, I think. I think you can kind of say that about Jack State, because you're going to be able to recruit here. You can clearly do good work in the portal here at Jack State. Kennesaw State, with the facilities, the funding, the stadium, and that kind of thing, it's going to take a lot of work to keep them competitive year in and year out. So, good year this year, it seems like, so far for Kennesaw. They should make a bowl game, sitting at 4-2. I can't imagine a world where they don't get to at least 6 wins, if not 8, 9, or 10. Either way, good for the Owls. So that's your quick three, or cutting Jack State, 4-game conference slate there. Again, the big one there is Kennesaw. Brooks, if you have any quick thoughts about them and their huge victory.
Excuse me. Yeah, no, and I think part of the way through, I don't know when exactly he got hurt and what his timeline is for recovery, but I think Evan Bullitt got hurt and had to miss the rest of the game. Like I said, I don't know. I said I was going to flip back and forth, but I was too, the same Houston game, I was too dialed in. I had to keep an eye on that more. But Evan Bullitt got hurt and had to leave the game. Don't know his timeline for recovery and when, but before he went out, things weren't going good. He was only 11-21 for 12 yards and a pick. And from there, they just didn't really, I think they had to rely on Mary Wiggins a lot. But it just yet can't say enough about Jerry Mack and the ability or the job that he's done to, you know, take what this program was a year ago in their first year in FBS play. And really they should be 5-1 right now. Probably should have had the win over Wake Forest in the season opener. The Indiana game was what it was. But just a phenomenal job by them. And this is, you know, we went into the season saying, all right, they're going to be about the same spot, maybe a little bit better that they were last year. And this is by no means a game to overlook when they come to town in 2 weeks. It's a very good football team. Dexter Williams has really came into himself. running backs are really stout. This has the potential to be a traditional Jack State Kennesaw slobber knocker, as one might say. You know, I know we ran over them in their house last year, and a couple of years ago, the last year, John Gross, they absolutely just dumped on us at their house. But you know, for the back and forth battles that for the most part that we've had with them since we started playing them in 2019, that game, or 2017 in the playoffs, that's when it was. I think this has the potential to be a really good game. And just, yeah, absolutely. But other than that, shocking stuff from Louisiana Tech. Like you said, fully expecting them to be the team that takes that jump and really, you know, position themselves to be in a spot for the conference championship. This game doesn't ruin their season by any means, conference wise. But you know, their only other loss is LSU. They're going to have to tighten up, and that starts in 2 weeks. Yeah, I think they're off this week, and then they play Western Kentucky at their place. And Western Kentucky still scraping away, as we saw. I think there was a little bit of officiating controversy. But as you know, we saw scraped away a win against a really good Delaware team 2 weeks ago. So that's going to be another one that, you know, they're going to have to figure things out quick to get the train back on the track if they are going to position themselves to be in that conference championship spot. But it certainly helps our case. Us being now one of only three teams that are undefeated in conference play. Other than that, yeah, Liberty found a little bit of life against UTEP. UTEP was one that I was thinking was going to be better, and you know, once they get what's his name, Malachi Nelson, talk about a fall from grace going into, you know, heavily recruited by USC and just flopping there, going to Boise State, flopping there, and. Did he go somewhere? He didn't go anywhere else in between Boise and UTEP, did he? No, he didn't. but still, just to be the recruit that he was, all this hype going into USC, and just they got benched halfway through the game for Skyler Locklear. It's just crazy to see to me. But Liberty kind of figuring things out again, scrapping out a win. And then Missouri State, excuse me. Missouri State again finding ways to win. Delaware obviously has been the out of the two Delawares that joined the conference this year. Delaware has obviously been the better team, but Missouri State going on the road, getting a decent road win against Middle Tennessee. Are we? I think the Derek Mason experiment is about to run out.
Could
he get fired here in the coming weeks?
There's been three coaches get fired today.
Yeah.
James Franklin and Trent Dilfer are gone. Which, by the way, for give me 20 seconds here. UAB should have made this decision 6 months ago, but at least they did it today. Yep. I don't know who they're going to get to kind of try to fix that program. I was hoping we'd see Dilfer for one more year. That way, next year when we get UAB out of conference, that'd be a much easier game. Now, not saying that they're going to be able to turn the whole program around in one offseason. You can do that now. We've seen Kennesaw do it, right? But either way, good for UAB. Trent Dilfer was a – I don't even know if the word disaster describes what he was. I can't believe that he made the trip home from Knoxville after taking pictures of the stadium, which I know what he said after it made a little bit more sense, and maybe that was part of it too. But
yeah.
You're still a head coach at a major cultural program taking videos of a stadium as your DOA team is not a good look. So anyway. But yeah, as far as Middle Tennessee State goes, I don't know if they'll stick with Mason throughout the year. I'd assume just being year two, they probably will. I would imagine there's some kind of buyout there. I know it's probably not very much, but I don't know what his contract looks like. But real quick.
Oh, by the way, that's who we play in 2 weeks, not not Kennesaw. I got it mixed up. We played Middle.
But
so it'll be interesting to see if Derek Mason's seen it on the sidelines in 2 weeks.
I hope so.
Oh, I do too.
I hope so.
Don't get me wrong.
real quick, some Delaware preview here. Before we start, these two teams are extremely evenly matched based on numbers on my spreadsheet. Now, what that means as far as what the game's going to look like, I don't know. Delaware is coming off a bye week, which was going to work out in their favor being on the road in a hostile environment. And before I forget, wear red. I think that's what we're doing. So I think there's a red out being kind of organized. So if you're listening, wear red. I'm sure you've got red. If not, then that's weird. But these two teams are extremely evenly matched. We look at the offense. Delaware is second in Conference USA, averaging 424 yards a game. JSU is third, averaging 421 yards a game. So there's 3 yards difference there. Now, how they move the ball is very different. If we look kind of here over at Delaware, like Brooke said earlier, they do prefer to throw it. They are second behind Western in passing yards per game at 278. But being second in the conference in passing yards, they only throw in about a touchdown and a half every game. You know, Western is up at almost 2.5 passing touchdowns a game. So they're not, you know, they're not throwing 3 or 4 touchdown passes per game, but they are throwing the ball to move it. So we'll see. Obviously, the secondary will be tested as this game goes on. They are sixth in rushing yards at 145. Of course, Jack State's 104 yards above everybody else. I mean, Jack State is running a glorified service academy offense. I know that's what they said on the broadcast, and I hated that they said that, but it's almost true at this point. Now, they are throwing it a lot more than what the service academies are, but as far as what they do on the ground, it's got some similarities. It's just out of the shotgun and that kind of thing. But Delaware, middle of the conference in rushing yards there, and you look at, like I said, total offense, they are second and third, very, very close together, more in line there. The defense is also extremely similar from JSU to Delaware in terms of what they give up total. So Delaware is seventh, and they are giving up 393 yards a game. So their defense is bottom half of the conference, just, you know, barely. Jack State is fourth in the conference in total yards, which almost doesn't sound real, that Jack State's defense is still fourth in the conference. We complain about it every week on this show. It's just not as bad as what we think it is. But they are fourth in the conference in total defense. Delaware's down there at seventh. And what really matters for JSU is how is Delaware against the run. They're, again, kind of middle of the road. They give up 150 on the ground per week. I know that number doesn't matter a whole lot. It's more of the yards per carry number. They are at 4.5 yards per carry, which is eighth in the conference. So, again, bottom half run defense. And that should be something Jack State can exploit and move the ball with. And I'm sure, you know, if they're eighth in the conference and they have not seen a ground attack anywhere near what JSU is going to do. So I think that does bode well for Jack State. Sam Houston is right there with them at 4.5 yards per carry. And we saw JSU run the ball for 300 and some odd yards last week. So it should be hopefully similar offensively for Jack State. It's just, what is JSU going to do with a passing attack for Delaware when they are, you know, basically Western Kentucky light throwing the football? They're going to, like I said, throw the ball to score and that kind of thing. We're going to see Nick Minucci at quarterback, which I think I didn't pronounce that right, but we'll move on. He's already thrown for 1,300 this year, 8 touchdowns, 3 picks. Like we said, a lot of yards, but only 8 touchdowns through, you know, 6 or 5 or 6 games there for Delaware. So they haven't just, like I said, thrown, you know, 4 or 5 touchdown passes, you know, per week. But we will see the passing attack. A couple of receivers that you'll see. Kyrie Duplessis, 340 yards total. Sean Wilson, 236. Jake Thaw, 230. Jakari Kelly, 161. They spread the ball around to their receivers. They don't have one guy with, you know, 400 or 500 yards at this point. But Kyrie Duplessis or Duplessis will be the main guy there for Delaware in the receiving game. And then Joe Silver we should see as the main back with 373 yards on the ground so far and 3 touchdowns. So they don't have an offense that kind of looks like JSU as far as they've got one guy who they're going to lean on. They're going to spread the ball out. And that kind of thing. So, again, two teams are very evenly matched as far as what the numbers would show. Jack State's, of course, pass defense that has not looked great at times this year is going to be tested against a good Delaware passing attack.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that's something I thought we did a little bit better. I'm not going to say we defended it great, but I thought we did a little bit better on defending the crossing routes. We certainly did on the short out routes. But this is a team that, you know, like you said, they don't, there's not any receivers with, you know, 500-600 yards receiving already. That I think they like to, obviously, like you said, Western Kentucky light. The difference between, I think, between Western and Delaware is you see, Maverick McIver take a little bit more of those deep shots, whereas Delaware likes to you know kind of piece up the defense by taking those short, you know, 10 yard passes through the air and then go getting 5 or 6 more on the ground. And you know, I've been preaching it all season. We've got to do a significantly better job defending that. Because they're going to watch film this week and know that's where, you know, it's just a dream for Minicucci, I believe is how you say it, to attack this defense, because we had been able to.
Thank you for that.
That's right. But he's going to have a field day if we cannot, you know, tighten up in zone and linebackers, you know. Drop another safety low, get a little bit of help across the middle, whatever it may be to stop that short passing attack, because it's just gonna kill us all night if we don't. I thought this was interesting too. The line is only Delaware 2.5. I kind of figured for as impressive as Delaware has looked all season, in the last couple of games, we haven't necessarily. I kind of figured it'd be more in that 5.5, 6.5 kind of range.
Agree. I made fun and let people know that do not live in Alabama about what I thought the atrocious Sam Houston line was last week, where Jack State was, what, a 7.5 point, 6.5 point favorite. And oh boy, that was a bad take on Drew's part. So, I don't know. The lines are weird and hard, but yeah, it is interesting to see, you know, Delaware 2.5. I know on the road has a lot to do with that. Jack State as a conference team at home has done really, really well the last 3 years. I'm sure that's a big part of it.
And that's the thing too, is their matchup predictor likes us. They give us a 57.5% chance to win. So I think they really like us at home. And you know, hell, credit to us. We've been able to. When was our last home loss? Wasn't it Liberty 2 years ago?
Liberty year one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, we've done and even then, I think that was our only home loss all year. We beat Western.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Kansas, no, we didn't play. And that was with a third string quarterback, I believe.
Yeah, we were down to. Greg Jones, but that kid from Ohio.
Webb and Smothers both got hurt. I think maybe Tayshaun Smoot played in that game.
Smoot,
maybe not.
That's who it was. Yeah, it was Smoot. So, but, you know, and that says a lot about, you know, our home environment, especially these midweek games. We've gotten really accustomed to playing these midweek games the last couple of years.
And winning them.
And winning them, obviously. You know, and you kind of figure it's going to be on a Wednesday night. You know, these Wednesday, Thursday night games, especially around here, a lot of people got to go to work the next day. You know, it crowd doesn't play that much into that much of a factor into it. But I've been more than pleasantly surprised with how our fan base has shown up and shown out for these midweek games. But I mean, it's going to be a tough game no matter what. You know, these are two polar opposite teams. We, like you said, the yards and the numbers are pretty identical, but they're just polar opposite in terms of how they run their offense and how they like to attack. Obviously, we are a ground first. They're a pass first. And that's what I'm trying to, I think this, if we can get the stops early on defense and establish ourselves, you know, in trying, you know, get that early punch on defense, I think there is a world where, you know, we can, I think there is a world where we can, you know, establish this run game and, you know, really wear them out. I know that's our bread and butter, but I think we are going to, there's more than a real possibility where, you know, like I said earlier, if we find ourselves down 14-3, 10-0, something like that, where we're going to have to move the ball through the air a lot more and have to move the ball through the air effectively. You know, I don't think we're going to be able to win this game, you know, throwing it within give or take two or three yards of the line of scrimmage and then going from there. I think we're going to have to hit the crossing routes. So we're going to have to hit the longer sideline passes. Just we're going to have to do things a little bit differently with the passing game, in order to win this game. If we can do that, I think we'll be fine. Keep the pass rush up and really, really, really disturb Minicucci, in the backfield. And their running backs hadn't just, you know, we're spoiled with Cam Cook, but the running backs haven't just, you know, blown anybody away. You know, leading receiver or leading running back Silver with 373 yards. I mean, they're not just, and again, I know they're a pass first offense, but, if we can, If it comes down to, I trust our rush defense a lot more than our pass defense. If we can, you know, really take that next step and improve and, you know, not giving up the long ball, and, you know, for the love of God, again, playing better coverage and being more aware of where the receivers are over the middle of the field, you know, I think we can be in control of this game. But, you know, it's just, We're gonna have to improve on that side of the ball. We ain't got a choice, or we're gonna get beat.
Yeah, if they play their best game of the year and play to the level that they are capable of, this is a game that they're gonna win. It's just we haven't seen that week in and week out like we have been kind of accustomed to the last couple of years. Where I do think that Richard was getting the best out of that team every week, or at least very, very close to it. And you know, in 2023, a lot of that may go to Zach Alley on defense getting the very best out of that defense week in and week out. But if Coach Kelly and company can get, like we said, the best out of the defense or best out of the team this week, this is a matchup that, you know, beyond points should be scored, right? Delaware doesn't defend the run all that well, and we don't defend the pass all that well, which kind of makes a case for a game a lot of points can be scored in. The biggest thing going for Delaware is they were on bye this last week, so they've had 2 weeks to prepare themselves, and Jack State has 6 days, and one of those days is a travel day to come back home from Houston. But I do think that it was important for JSU, like Caden Creel, like he needed to play, right? You know, a bye week for Caden Creel may not have been as beneficial as an actual game like that. So I do think that works out in JSU's favor. Creel has, you know, all, you know, 4 quarters of in-game action at the quarterback spot, more experience for him. So I'm not sure that a bye week for Caden Creel personally would have done as much as playing a game. Obviously the, you know, 52-yard winner at the horn, boost morale, everybody's, you know, carrying Ripper off the field, everybody's happy. I think that works out in JSU's favor as well. So if they have 5 good days of practice here and can kind of solve what Delaware does for the year. I think this is a game that Jack State can certainly go win and set themselves up for another run through the conference like we've done the last 2 years. But beyond that, unless Brooks, you have any final thoughts for us, we'll kind of leave it there. We'll kind of give you guys a score as we usually do. I think, JSU 38-35, 38-31, 38-28, if the defense plays their best is something that we could see on in the event of a Gamecock victory, which again, if we get the best out of this team, I think they are going to go win this game. Just kind of depends on what team shows up. So being at home is a huge, huge thing for Jack State so far this year. They look really good at home. They have not looked that way on the road. So getting Delaware at home after a morale boost in a victory is going to be a good thing. So once again, like usual, go find us on Twitter. We get a lot of great interaction on there throughout the year and even in the off season. We do plan to do just – I'm thinking about it now. We got a couple of minutes here. We do plan to do a little more basketball stuff this year. Me and Brooks are not great basketball minds. We played basketball in high school. I don't think that's the same thing. We're not great basketball minds. We do kind of plan to do a little more basketball than we did last year, especially with Coach Harper and the success we saw last year. We've seen in past years under him. We think that'll be really fun to kind of just dip our foot in this year and see how that goes. But, of course, we're a football-first podcast. You guys get that idea. But, again, go find us on Twitter. Give us a like. Throw us a review on here. Let us know your thoughts. And we will see you guys probably Thursday or Friday next week after the Delaware matchup. And hopefully we're talking about a Gamecock victory.